Well, it's good to be back in the house of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And anytime we get to serve the Lord, it's a good day.
Yeah.
And it's an honor and a privilege to just to get to serve God. And I'm thankful for that. And I think a lot of times we sort of get over our salvation, if you will. And, you know, it's not that we mean to and it's not that we want to. But this world beats us down and the wind and the waves of the world get to us. And there was a time that Peter stepped out on the sea and he walked. I don't know if it was one step or two steps or 100 steps. The Bible doesn't say. But he was able to walk on the water. If anybody ever asks you who was the only man to walk on water, the answer is not Jesus. It's the answer is there was two men. Jesus walked on the water. But so did Peter for a little bit. But what messed Peter up? It was the wind and the waves got in his way and he began to be afraid. So if he'd have just kept his eyes on Jesus, he'd have walked right to him. But he took his eyes off of that and he put it on the wind and the waves. He put it on the world, if you will. And that's when he began to sink up. And I preached a message on when saved people need saving. Amen. And there is a time when saved people need to not to get saved all over again. Amen. That's false doctrine. But they need the Lord to remind them of what he did for us the first time. When he picked us up out of the miry clay and set our feet upon the solid rock. And I'm thankful that he comes along every once in a while and he reminds us when we slip up. And I'm thankful for the Lord. Amen. And I'm thankful for Nehemiah chapter number 8 the last couple weeks. I talked about on that second reading, amen? Well, I went back and started reading again, and I found something else in Nehemiah chapter number 8. And I found this, if I was going to title Nehemiah chapter number 8, I would title it this, The Word Above All. The Word Above All in its place among the people, but the word among all in our hearts, above all in our hearts. God's word should be the most important thing in our life. And I'm thankful that he showed me that on a second reading. Amen. But I'm glad revival did not end at the end of the 7 days. So when we ended Nehemiah chapter number 8, it was on the 8th day. That new beginnings. The people had a new beginning. That number 8 is the number of new beginnings. And the people had a new beginning. They had a physical new beginning in Israel. There was literally a physical transformation. But now they had a spiritual transformation. They had gotten back to the Word of God. But I'm sure glad that's not where it ended. So we find ourselves in chapter number 9. And the Bible's not always laid out this way. The Bible doesn't always tell us how long it was between the chapters. Sometimes there's actually no time between the chapters. It's just a division that was put in there by man so that we can understand what's going on. But in this one, there is an actual time in between the chapters, and it tells us exactly how far. So where does Nehemiah chapter number 8 begin? Well, let's look back. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water. And look in verse number 2. It was on the 1st day of the 7th month. So we know that it was on the 1st day of that 7th month. Now let's look where we begin in Nehemiah chapter number 9. Now in the 24th day of this month, what month is that? We're still in the 7th month. So Nehemiah chapter number 8 begins on the 1st day of the month. Nehemiah chapter number 9 begins on the 24th day of the month. 8 times 3 is 24. 8, the number of new beginnings. 3, the number of the Godhead. Put those together, we're on the 24th day of the month. There's 16 days after Nehemiah chapter number 8 ended until chapter number 9 begins. We talked about it a little bit the last 2 weeks. That 7th month is full of feasts and celebrations. It's the Feast of the Tabernacles. We have there in the 7th month, We have many other feasts as well. Feast of the Atonement was there. And so that's on the 10th day of the month. And so now we're on the 24th day of the month. And it says the children of Israel were assembled with fasting. You know, fasting and prayer go hand in hand. In the book of Esther, you know the name God is never mentioned in that book? Literally, God is not mentioned in the book of Esther. But can I tell you, he's more prevalent in that book than probably most in the Bible. He's in there all the way through. You know what else is not mentioned in the book of Esther? Prayer. But fasting is. And you cannot separate fasting and prayer. Now, we don't always fast when we pray. But when we fast, we always pray. Those two things go together. And so in the Bible, when you see fasting, there's much prayer within that. Fasting and prayer should always go together. I know a preacher friend of mine, he says it this way, kneel instead of a meal. That's what he calls fasting. He said, instead of physical food, I get spiritual food. He says, so when in the times of fasting, he said, I'm not looking for a plate of fried chicken, but I'm looking to go to the Lord in prayer and have my spiritual needs met. Well, that's exactly what's going on in Israel right now. If you'll remember the last 2 weeks, we talked about the first 7 chapters, the physical needs of Israel are being met. But in chapter number 8, 9, and 10, it is the spiritual needs being met. And so here they are, and there's these feasts and these celebrations, but they come on the 24th day and they're fasting. So if they're fasting, they're prayed up when they come before the Lord. You know, it would do us some good to get back to just some good old fasting and prayer, especially before revival. Now, I know fasting's not popular, but I tell people all the time, I was made for fasting. You look at me and you go, how? Because I've done stored up, amen? I was made to fast. Can I tell you that fasting is good for us? And I'm not talking about like the world says. There's all kinds of this stuff in the world, intermittent fasting and things like that for your health. You know, it's sad when the world is more churchy than the church is. It's sad when the world uses the things the church ought to be using to get themselves right physically when we need to be using it spiritually. It's an interesting juxtaposition. I downloaded an app the other day on intermittent fasting. I wanted to learn more about it. And it talks about all the health benefits. Can I tell you, your spiritual health needs fasting? Your spiritual health needs that. It's showing God that you're serious about something, that you're willing to sacrifice for God. How often do we sacrifice for God? I think it would be safe to say we don't do it nearly enough. They were sold out to God. They were looking for God. And they were willing to sacrifice. So they come fasting. And what were they in? They were in sackcloths and had earth upon them. That was a sign of mourning. They were coming and they were mourning over something. What were they mourning over? When there was a funeral, remember in the book of Esther, when it says that Mordecai was in sackcloth and ashes outside of the gates. Why was that? Because the Jews were in mourning. A death sentence had been put on them. But now here they were, and they were back in this place. Doug, what'd they have to mourn over? They had a new place. They had a new temple. What did they have to mourn? Sin. You know, it would do us some good to learn to mourn over sin. I often think about when it says that Jesus fell beneath the weight of the cross. Now, I don't believe that that means he literally dropped the cross like you'll see in movies. I don't believe that. But I believe the weight was so heavy. People say, yeah, it's the flesh and he was weak. But do you know what I believe that that was? It was the weight of my sin. And it was the weight of your sin that that cross represented. He literally became our sin. I wonder how many times we fell beneath the weight of our sin. How many times we hit our knees because of the sin in our life. No, we're quick to point out other people's sin. We're quick to look in our neighbor's backyard, and we're quick to say they need to mow their grass. Meanwhile, we've got a lawnmower tore apart and oil and everything else all over ours, but we're going, don't look there, look over here. Can I tell you that it would do us some good to get back to mourning over our sin? We're really good at hating other sins, but how often do we hate our sin as much as we hate other sins? Jesus hates all sin. And we ought to mourn over the fact that we do sin. So in verse number 2, it says, and the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers. They had a place that they could go to that was just them. You know that biblical separation is still a thing, and I'm not going to get real deep into that tonight. But there comes a time that we need to separate ourselves from folks who don't live the way we do. There comes a time when it's bad for us, but there comes a time when we need to separate ourselves from just other people and get alone with God. Now, they're coming to God as one man, but for us, there's times we just need to get alone with God and say, God, there's something we need to deal with. There's something we need to talk about. And they stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. Do you know what caused them to do this? The reading of the Word of God. Now, for over 3 weeks, they've been in the Word. And now they said, we've got some stuff we need to deal with. Can I tell you, when you get in the Word of God, you'll find out there's some stuff in your life you need to deal with. There's stuff in all of our lives we need to deal with. You know, here's the thing that God does. When we get closer to God and we get nearer to God and we're in God's Word and we're praying and we're fasting, all of a sudden we'll think, man, I'm doing all right. I've gotten rid of this sin and I've gotten rid of that sin. I don't watch those shows I used to watch. I don't listen to that music I used to listen to. Don't hang out with those people that were doing the wrong thing. I'm doing pretty good. And you know what the Lord will do? He'll go, well, how about that? Oh, well, God, that's not as bad as that other stuff. Yeah, but how about that? God will start touching on things and he'll start getting deeper. And we'll realize we're not where we need to be. You know, if Adam measures himself against me, he might think he's doing pretty good. If I measure myself against Doug, I might think I'm all right. But when we measure ourselves against the Word of God, we'll realize we're all ashamed. When we measure ourselves against Christ, we'll realize that none of us have gotten there. That's why Paul said, I've not attained. I don't know a better Christian than Paul was. And I don't know a worse sinner than Paul was. But he said, I've not yet attained. He said, because when I look at Christ, I realize I'm not anywhere close. You know, we need to stop comparing ourselves to others and going, well, I'm all right because I'm doing better than they are. No, you're not all right because you're not doing as well as Christ did. And until we get there, you say, preacher, I'm never going to get there. Well, what's the hurt in trying for it? Because we will one day. It'll be over in heaven, but we'll get there. I want to try to get as close as I can while I'm here. Our sins separate us from God. Do you know what the worst part was for Israel being carried into captivity? For those 70 years, it was separation from God. God told Jeremiah at one point, he said, don't even pray for them because I won't hear the prayer. Could you imagine if God said that about us? Doug, what if the Lord told you, don't even pray for Jody, because I won't hear you? My lands. What a judgment had been placed on Israel. No wonder they were mourning. Because the deeper they got in the Word of God, the more they realized they had sinned against the Lord. Well, when we realize we've sinned against the Lord, what do we do? It says, and the people stood up and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And look in verse number 3. There's something here I want you to notice again. And they stood up in their place. Man, that phrase, their place, keeps coming up, doesn't it? Every once in a while, we just need to be in our place. We live in a world today where it's hard enough to get lost people into the church. You know why? Because it's hard enough to get saved people into the church. We got to beg saved folk to come to church, and we expect lost people to show up. No, we're going to have to go out and reach the lost. I'm not preaching on that tonight, but let me just drop that in there. We're going to have to go out and reach the lost. You know why? We can't even get saved people in church. So we got to change the way we do some things. We don't change the message. Sometimes you got to change the method. And so here they were, and they were in their place. You know what we've got in here tonight? Some people in their place. And you say, well, preacher, you're preaching to the choir there. I might be. But it's a good reminder, amen. It's a good reminder to us sometimes that we just need to be in our place. Number one, that's an exhortation for those who are here, amen. But can I tell you that we need people who are just in their place? Let me say this. The Lord showed me in reading this, Nehemiah was not a preacher. Who was doing the preaching at this time? If you will, it was Ezra. Ezra was the one reading. It wasn't Nehemiah, but they were all there because Nehemiah had laid it all on the line. Can I tell you some of the most important people in the history of this church have not been preachers, but they've been people who were willing to lay it all on the line to keep the doors open. They were people who were willing to do whatever it took to teach Sunday school. They were people willing to do whatever it took to play the piano and to sing. They were people willing just to be in their place. Can I tell you the most important people in our churches today are not the preachers. Preaching is important, amen. But the preacher's just a tool to be used in the hands of God. There's nothing special about us other than our calling. But can I tell you that what's important in our churches today is there's people in their place. People willing to do what needs to be done. I love reading about those old revivals, Carl. I love history. I love church history, love Baptist history, love American history. But I love history of the old revivals. And you know that during the revival, the Welsh revival, it was not the preacher who brought revival, but there was two old ladies on that island who had gotten a burden to see lost people saved. And they got together and started praying every day. And they prayed and they prayed and they prayed. And God told them to have a revival in that church. So they called a preacher. And the preacher came to preach the revival. And the first night, nothing happened. And the second night, nothing happened. You know what those two dear old saints of God did? They called the preacher over for prayer meeting after the second night. And they said, preacher, are you right with God? Can you imagine? You know, we need some Christians with that kind of boldness. They had faith God was going to do something. And they said, preacher, we just want to make sure. They weren't trying to be mean to the preacher. They said, preacher, we just want to make sure you're right with God. And the preacher looked at him and said, well, we all ought to get right with God right now, just in case we're not. And the people had a prayer meeting. And they began to pray. And on the third night of that revival, a young lady stood up, came to the altar, and that thing busted loose. It's one of the most famous revivals that's ever been known. You know why? Because some people decided they were just going to get right with God. Some folks here decided they were going to get right with God. And they stood up in their place and read in the book of the law, the word above all. They put God's word in its rightful place. They said, if we're going to see revival and we're going to confess of our sin and we're going to see God move, we're going to have to read. It said, in the law of the Lord their God, 1/4 part of the day. So now instead of 6 hours, they read it for 3 hours. You say, preacher, a fourth part of the day is 6 hours. Well, that might be true for us. But see, the Jews separated their day into two parts. The day was 12 hours and the night was 12 hours. From 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. was the day. And from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. was the night. And so if you were going to read for a fourth part of the day, that would be from 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock in the morning. And you say, well, why did they back off? They must be backslid. No, look at it. And another fourth part, they confessed and then worshiped the Lord their God. If I do my math right, for 3 hours they read the word of the law, then for 3 hours they repented, and then they worshiped for the next 6 hours. Can I tell you that's how this thing works? We read in the word of God, we become convicted of our sin, we repent, and then we are free to worship because the chains come off. I would say that many times we're not free to worship because our sin has been undealt with and we're not dealing with it on a daily basis. Paul said, I'm crucified daily. I'm crucified with Christ daily. Therefore, I live. I would venture to say Paul got up every morning, read in the word of God, repented of his sin, put his old man back on the cross, and was able to worship God and do the work of God the rest of the day because sin had been dealt with. We sin every day, multiple times a day, not because we want to, but because our flesh is our flesh and our flesh is weak. There's many times we sin, say, preacher, I didn't sin today. Oh yeah, did you snap at your husband or did you snap at your wife on the way to church tonight? Guess what? You sinned. Did you get in an argument with a coworker that's not been dealt with and left unresolved? Well, guess what? You sinned. Did the devil put an inappropriate thought in your mind and you dwelled on that thought for a moment? Well, guess what? You sinned. Did you say something you shouldn't have said? Well, guess what? You sinned. Hey, guess what? Even if it's in your mind, you said it, you sin. I was playing golf with some customers of mine one day, and I got aggravated at the shots that I was taking. I'm not a very good golfer, amen. I need to learn that I'm just out there to have fun. And I went, And they said, preacher, do you know that it's just as much of a sin in your head as it is coming out your mouth? Think about that. And they said, but if you go ahead and say it, it would be more entertaining for the rest of us. I said, no. Bad enough it was in my head. Amen. We get aggravated. We say things we don't mean. You know what that is? That's the flesh. But that's sin. And that sin must be dealt with. Or else we'll have something between us and God. God cannot look upon sin. And the Bible says if we regard iniquity in our heart, then God will not hear us. Can I tell you, your sin will separate you from God and God won't even hear your prayers. How many times when we go to the Lord in prayer is the first thing you say, Lord, forgive me where I failed you. If you don't and you have sin in your heart that's been undealt with, God's not going to hear the rest of what you said. That's why sin must be dealt with. Holy living is still a thing. It may not be popular preaching. It won't get you booked at a lot of places. But I tell you what, it's still a thing. And these folks understood that. They were back in God's place for them. They were in God's dwelling place for them. A place that God had handpicked for them. And they said, if we're going to do this thing, we've got to do it right. Can I say tonight, we're in a place that God has selected for us. And if we're going to do this thing, we might as well do it right. I was a young man that just started working. And you know, when you're younger, your mind goes everywhere. And I've got a little bit of ADD, I think. And there's a lot of things that I get distracted on. And I was at work one day and an older man came in and sat down. He said, you all right today? I said, there's 1,000 other places I'd rather be than here today. He said, well, here's the problem. He said, if you're going to get paid, you're going to have to be here. And he said, if you're going to have to be here, you might as well work. He said, and if you're going to have to work, you might as well give it your all in order to pass the time so you can get to where you want to be. Well, can I give a spiritual application on that? If you're going to be here, it ain't going to do you much good just to be here physically and not be here spiritually and mentally. if you're going to be here, you might as well go ahead and get the best you can out of it and give the best you can to God, because He put you here. And this is a place that He has selected for you to worship Him and serve Him and be here for God. So you might as well be in your place in all three parts, mind, body, and soul. Can I tell you that after COVID, there's a lot of people that did not return, but there's a lot of people that returned physically, but they still have not returned spiritually. They have not returned mentally. There's everywhere else they would rather be. Can I tell you, there's nowhere I'd rather be than in church. Nowhere I'd rather be. Most of the time. Say, what do you mean, preacher? Because there's days. But you know what? Those are the days that the Bible says be instant in season and out of season. It's not just for preachers. That's for everybody. There's going to be days you're having an out-of-season day. You know what? Just come in and worship anyways. Just give God glory anyways and watch your day turn around. But let me say this. There's a lot of days that we're having an out-of-season day because there's sin in our life that we haven't dealt with. If you'll deal with the sin, God will let those chains fall off and you'll be able to worship. I'm not getting anywhere real fast, Carl. They worshiped the Lord, their God. Notice that it was only after the sins got confessed that they worshiped. You can't shout in the middle of your sin. You can't shout while you've got sin in your heart. You ever tried? You ever try to put on that spiritual show? Because you've got sin in your heart and you know it, but you don't want anybody else to know it. But you've not dealt with it and everybody else is shouting, so you just go ahead and shout too. Get rid of the sin. Deal with it. Deal with that. For God has to deal with it. So when He deals with it, that's judgment. But He told us if we regard iniquity in our heart, He won't hear us. We need God to hear us in these days. Verse number 4. Then stood up upon the stairs of the Levites, Jeshua and Bani, Kadmiel, Shabaniah, Bunai, Sherebiah. Just notice that there's two people named Bani. Amen. Bani and Chenina, and cried with a loud voice unto the Lord their God. When we deal with sin and we begin to worship, man, all we want to do is call upon God. All we want to do is praise His name. Then the Levites, Jeshua and Kadmiel, Bani, Hashabaniah, Sherebiah, Hodijah, Shabaniah, and Pethahiah said, stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. And blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. You know, there's a lot of times we'll let sin weigh us down. And we'll carry sin and we will absolutely let it crush us. But the minute we deal with it and we repent, all of a sudden it's like all the weight is off and all we want to do is worship the Lord. Can I tell you there's a reason for that? Because it is a crushing weight. Barometric pressure is an interesting thing. I think about it all the time because my sinuses this time of year. When the night falls, you ever notice your sinuses get worse? You know why that is? Barometric pressure. It's more pressure on your head than there is during the day. It's lighter. It's literally lighter during the day. So the air is thinner. You know why? Because it's hotter during the day in the wintertime. Most of the time. And so all that barometric pressure starts weighing down on you. Well, it doesn't do you any good till you get rid of it. Can I tell you, get rid of the weight before it crushes you. Get rid of all that. Do you know what stands between us and having real revival? Sin. That weight we're carrying around. Verse number 6. Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heavens of the heavens, with all their host, the earth, and all the things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all, and the host of heaven worshipeth thee. Said, Lord, you're worthy to be praised. Man, when we get sin out of our life, we realize how worthy God is to be praised. You know, I'm not going to be one of those preachers who tells you there's no pleasure in sin, because that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season. And guess what comes after that? Judgment. Sin has to be dealt with. Let me just say this tonight. You can pick your sin. You can't pick your punishment. You can't pick what God does with that. And God has to punish our sins. Sometimes it comes through chastening, and sometimes it comes through utter destruction. Israel's sin had chastening for a long time. But when it went unchecked for years and years and years, God had to destroy what they had come to love over him. They had come to love Jerusalem. They had lost their love of the Lord. So he took away what they loved to get them back to him. Can I tell you that God has to deal with sin? He's just in doing that. But if we'll deal with our own sin, I guess I look at it this way. Dad used to tell me all the time, you want to tell me what you did or you want me to tell you? And Carl, I knew that if I told him, it came with a lighter punishment. When Adam sinned, the Lord came and said, where art thou, Adam? Not because he had lost Adam, not because Adam was hiding from God, but God said, Adam, where's your heart? He wanted Adam to confess his sin. He wanted Adam to come clean. And he said, Adam, where's your heart? Well, Adam beat around the bush and he did what any good man would do, and he blamed his wife. Amen. That don't work with God as much as it don't work with anybody else. Even though it was Eve's fault. Amen. But can I tell you that God was asking Adam, he said, Adam, where's your heart? He said, where's your heart on this whole thing? That's all God ever asked for. All he wanted was Adam's heart. Somebody told me one time, they said, well, why would God force Adam to worship him? I said, he didn't. That's the point. God didn't force Adam to worship him. He asked Adam to choose him. And Adam chose the flesh. And he sacrificed his perfect fellowship with God. Do you know what happens when we choose sin? We sacrifice fellowship with God. We separate ourselves from God. Maybe we ought to choose to deal with our sin. And then we can worship the Lord. Now, this is amazing where they go to after this. We'll get there next week. I'd recommend reading ahead, because it's amazing where they go to. They go through their whole history and they look at how good God had been to them, but then they look at how they had messed up things with God. How every time God performed a miracle, they were disobedient. You know what? That's the same story we have. God's done great and mighty things in our life, and we've turned around and been disobedient to God. And it's this roller coaster. But do you know what the guardian of power is with God? Consistency. God wants consistency. He wants people. Look at Paul. Paul said, yeah, I sin, but I deal with it. I'm reminded of Charles Spurgeon. And Charles Spurgeon, I'll wrap up with this tonight. Charles Spurgeon one time was walking through a busy street in downtown London. And as he went to cross the street, now remember, this isn't in the time of automobiles. This is the time of horse and carriage. A horse could trample you to death quicker than an automobile could run over you. They could stop them faster. The horse is running down the street and Charles Spurgeon didn't care. In the middle of the street, Charles Spurgeon knelt and prayed. People stood around astonished. Why in the world would he do that? Well, one man got the courage to ask Charles Spurgeon. He said, preacher, why in the world would you risk your life to kneel down in the street? Did you drop something? He said, well, I guess you could say that. He said, for a moment, a feather of a thought came between me and God. And he said, I could not take another step until I got right with God. What if our lives were like that? What if as soon as the flesh got the best of us, we just stopped and said, God, forgive me. Forgive me of my sins. Lord, help me to just do better. And you know what? Our lives would be a whole lot better because we wouldn't be carrying around the weight of sin. Say, preacher, you don't know that I've sinned. Yeah, I do. Because the Bible says all have sinned. Well, yeah, but that was before I got saved. If you can tell me you have not sinned after you got saved, you come up here and I'll tell you you have sinned because you're a liar. I was saved at 7 years old. I've sinned more since I was saved than I did before I was. Can I tell you that's the flesh? But if we will strive to live holy and we'll strive to repent of those sins when they happen, we'll find ourselves living a much lighter life, a much freer life, and we'll find our worship so much better with God. Father God, we love you. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for revival, and we'll see real revival in Israel next week, Lord. Lord, I thank you when you deal with our hearts through your word. Lord, help us, God. Help us to stay clean so we can be worthy of your use. God, we know that you won't use a dirty vessel. Lord, help us, Lord, to just clean up. Lord, use that holy scrub brush and that holy sandpaper to get the rough edges off of us, Lord. Lord, help us to be people worthy of your use. God, I pray, Lord, you'll help us just to be better Christians, Lord. Send revival our way. Let it start with us. In Jesus' name, amen.